We've been working our way through these things called Christian cliches, and what we're calling that is probably advice that you've been given or probably you've given, you've received, and it's probably sounded something like this, that when God closes a door, he opens a window. And you're like, man, that's good. And then we see that that's not from the Bible, but that's from The Sound of Music. Or we have this idea that God won't give us more than we can handle. Or this microphone cord, it's probably more than I can handle right now. We have these cliches, God won't give you more than you can handle. And you're like, he must know something I don't, because this is too much right now. Or we're told, and Pastor Mike preached on this, just follow your heart. Man. And one that kind of goes along with that is, you know, follow your truth. Your truth, not the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the world says, follow your truth. Even churches will come through there and say that. And so we've just been working our way through this. And today we're really looking at this one cliche that says that everything happens for a reason. That was not part of the sermon illustration there. There's a reason behind that, and I think his name is Sean. Yeah. Is it on this side? Oh, it's on this side. There it is. Oh, man. But the reason that these things are so important is because what we believe determines how we act. Joseph Prince, which is a pastor that I enjoy, he says that right believing leads to right living. And if that's true, then the opposite is true, that wrong believing leads to wrong living. And so these cliches will teach us something, and we think that they're truth, but they're actually wrong. They're half truth, but they're full lies. They sound just close to being biblical, just close to being scriptural, that we cling to them and they help us out until they don't. And so it's so important that we, as the body of Christ, that us, his church, that we know the word, that we cling to it, that is the foundation, not cliches, not pop culture sayings. This one here that we're talking about today, everything happens for a reason. It comes from like Greek philosophy, but probably the most famous person that quoted it would be Marilyn Monroe. Like, and we're re-quoting something that she said. I don't think that that's somebody that we need to follow their advice or their wisdom on. And what happens is that when we believe a lie, it can lead to destruction. It can lead to devastating consequences. I'm going to just start with, there's two companies that I'm going to talk about. Probably most everybody has heard of one of these companies. And then the other company, maybe not everybody in the room has heard of them, but we'll see. There was one company, Kodak. Kodak camera film. In 1975, they were at the height of the film. They were the king of the film, the print industry. And one of their engineers in 1975 came to the CEO, and he had a design. He had a prototype for a digital camera. In 1975, a digital camera that wouldn't require any print. It would save it onto a cassette. And the CEO of Kodak at the time said, man, don't tell anybody about that. If we produce that, then that's going to hurt our film and our print industry. And nobody's going to want pictures that you look at, that you look on a screen. We're always going to want pictures that we can hold in our hands. That's what the CEO told the engineer. And so he buried it. He shelved it. They put it away. 2012, Kodak filed for bankruptcy. The very technology that they had in their possession is the one that put them out of business. They believed a false narrative, a false story, and it led to their foreclosure. You see, when you believe something that's wrong and you follow that, it can lead to devastating consequences. Another company that you probably if you're my age or older, you've heard of it, Blockbuster. Man, tell me you didn't spend a Friday night walking around Blockbuster looking for what movie you're going to rent and forget to rewind, you know? Man, Blockbuster. In the year 2000, Netflix came to them. It was a startup company, and Netflix offered to sell to Blockbuster for $50 million. And Blockbuster was like, I mean, it's the year 2000. I mean, no way. It's another dot-com just fad. It'll go away. We don't have to worry about it. And the Netflix guy said that the Blockbuster CEO laughed him out of the building. Said, oh, man, no one's going to stream that. That's just a fad. They're going to want to come to our store. I mean, if you haven't heard of Blockbuster, there's a reason why, right? It didn't work out so well. Netflix is worth like, I don't know, maybe $200 billion or something now. And they could have had it. But they thought something was going to go one way, and it didn't go the right way. And the same can be true for us, that when we hold on to these cliches, onto these sayings, we're like, oh yeah, we're good. Okay, something happens. Everything happens for a reason. And then it happens, and you're like, what's the reason behind that? If you want to turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it'll be up on the screen too. Or if you're like one of my kiddos, you can pull it up on your phone and have it right there in your hand. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28. Did I write this down wrong? I wrote that down wrong. What is going on here? No, that's right. What? Oh, I'm in Acts. Man, there we go. I was like, I don't think that's wrong. I think I'm right, but I'm wrong, though. Romans 8, 28. There we go. One more verse over. Everything happens for a reason. Right here it says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So today we're taking this cliche that says everything happens for a reason, and we're looking at it, we're applying a Bible verse that goes, hey, how about this, that we know that in all things, God is working together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Today's main idea is this right here, is that God brings reason to everything that happens. The world says, the Christian cliche is everything happens for a reason. But today's main idea is this, is that God brings reason to everything that happens. Because what we want to show is that you can have the truth in your hands. You can know it right here, but if you don't know it and you don't apply it or you misinterpret it or you ignore it, it can lead you down the wrong path. And yeah, probably most of us have never been in the same position as Kodak or Blockbuster, and the lie that we believed was not a business lie or profit margins or anything like that. But what's happened is we've taken this cliche that everything happens for a reason, and we believed it. We've said it, we've received it, and honestly, it just comes out in times where we don't understand. In moments where nothing else makes sense, in a hospital room or standing by a casket or standing at a closed door in your life and wondering why. And maybe someone has said that to you and they've whispered it in a soft voice and with good intentions. And they say everything happens for a reason. And it feels comforting because it seems to make sense, but then it doesn't. Because sometimes the reason doesn't come. Sometimes there's no clarity and the explanation just doesn't show up. We're left asking. You know, you go through a tragedy, you go through something tough, and it's like, and someone comes to you, hey, everything happens for a reason. And what they're really saying is that God caused this, but he's going to redeem this. That God caused this and everything happens. God is in control. God's got it. Don't worry. And then... Like my thought process, so God wanted my kid to die? Oh, so the flood victims in South Texas, like that, When we say everything happens for a reason, what we're really saying is that God is in control, that God caused it, but through that, then he's going to work something. When we say everything happens for a reason, then we go, so you're telling me that divorce was part of his plan? Or that somehow this trauma had to happen so that he could teach me a lesson? And we start wondering if God is just up there pulling strings, making people suffer so he can teach us a lesson. The danger is that when we believe that everything happens for a reason, then we can quietly start to believe that God is the reason behind everything, that he causes the abuse, that he orchestrates the trauma, and that he somehow allows injustice in order to build our character. And over time, our view becomes distorted. We think that he becomes cold and distant. We start thinking of him more as a puppet master pulling strings instead of a shepherd walking us through it. Everything happens for a reason sounds like truth. It sounds like wisdom. But actually, underneath, it's a subtle lie about the character of God. Let me say that again. Tony liked it. Everything happens for a reason. It sounds like wisdom, but underneath, it's actually a subtle lie about the character of God. Because pain makes us desperate for an explanation. Suffering leaves us vulnerable and craving meaning. We want to make sense of what doesn't make sense. And cliches like this one are quick answers to deep pain. But they don't hold up over the test of time. We don't need a reason. We need redemption. We don't need an explanation. We need his presence. You see that God brings reason to everything that happens. My wife has pointed out to me that I say you know a lot, and so sorry. I just caught myself saying it, and I probably say it a lot, so someone can keep track of that for me today. On Friday, I was washing my truck. I do that once a year, and it's like the automatic car wash. And this one is very particular. You have to take everything out of the back of your truck. And in my mind, I'm like, who cares? If it's my boots that get wet, it's my boots. What's your issue with that? I went through there, and I was almost about to get through there. I had like a zip tie tied onto the back of my truck for something that I'd left tied. And they're like, hey, can you get that out? I'm like, are you serious? I got to get this out. But anyway, so I cleaned out my truck, get ready for it, go to the car wash, and go back to the job site. And the Lord said, When I was taking everything out, I heard the Lord, like not like an audible, not like the heavens split open, but just like a sense that was like, hey, put the gas can back in your truck. Someone's going to need it today. I was like, okay, good. I'll do that. And I leave the job site, go get the truck wash, come back, get to the job site, completely forget about it. I mean, it doesn't even cross my mind again. Friday night, me and the kiddos are coming back from a movie, and we're on the interstate on the service road, and there's a truck with its flashers on right there. And y'all are probably smart enough to figure out this, right? I didn't put the gas can back in my truck. And there's a guy, flashers on, an old guy walking down the service road with a gas can. And right there, I was like, oh, man, I was supposed to put a gas can in the back of my truck. And so I pulled over. I said, hey, can I get the gas can? I said, I would let you get in, but my kids are in here and my front seat's covered because all the kids are where all my stuff normally goes. And so I was like, hey, just walk back to your truck. I'll go up there and get it. I'll be right back. It was like another mile or so up to get gas and do that, come back. And it provided an opportunity for me to say, man, and we actually had a really good conversation there. But I was able to say, man, the Lord told me to do this. And I just forgot. And he goes, man, I've been trying to be a Christian since I was 10 years old. He's an old man, retired from the Navy, 22 years in the Navy. And I was like, hey, I've been pastoring for 22 years. I'm still trying to figure it out too. I said, the Lord told me and I just forgot, but so thankful that he redeemed this opportunity. And so what we look at is that God is not the one that is causing all of these things, but he is the one that is able to redeem them. Like you could say, oh, everything happens for a reason. It's like, yeah. And he told me to put a gas can in there. And I didn't. And then it's like, did he make me forget too? No. No, he told me, I forgot. but he redeemed it. Because that's how good he is. I mean, when we have this idea that everything happens for a reason, it's this subtle lie where we begin to question the goodness of God. It's like everything happens for a reason. And what we're really saying is God is the puppet master, pulling the strings, making all of these things happen so that then eventually we can all come back to him and go, man, you are so good. It's like if I were to climb up on this roof and jump off and be like, well, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, gravity. That's not the Lord. He's not trying to teach me something. I'm a science teacher in elementary was trying to teach me something. And we look at these things and it's the same thing. Like if I eat a lot of donuts and I put on a little bit of weight, I'm like, man, the Lord is just making me fat. No, it's a consequence of me liking donuts. And those are simple, like humorous examples, but we apply those same truths to other parts of our lives where something bad happens and then we go, well, the Lord just had to cause that wreck so that I would hit rock bottom to return back to him. And I'm like, man, God is a good father. I can't imagine doing something to my kids that would be harmful, potentially deathly, in order for them to maybe see the truth. Dads, would y'all, anybody in here do that? You don't have to raise your hand if you would, but but who would do that? Because what's happened is we believed a lie about God that he's up there, he's cold, he's distant, he's calculating, he's manipulating all these things so that we will in turn love him. Yes. We say everything happens for a reason, and what we're really trying to say is that God is causing all of these things, but then we'll find comfort in these verses that say, but he'll work all things together. We have to understand that not all things are good, but in all things, God is good. Like if you go back to his word, like in the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, look at this. This is beautiful. I'm going to go to Genesis 1 this time for sure. I'm not going to pull up the wrong book. Look at what it says, like Genesis 1. When God created the world, everything was good. There was no death, no betrayal, no cancer, no war, no trauma, just unbroken relationship between God and humanity. Before there was pain and there were tears and there was sin, there was a garden. And everything, say it with me, say everything was good. Everything was good. Look at Genesis, and I think it'll be up on the screen because I'm just going to go through it fast. Genesis 1:4. God saw the light, and it was good. Right. Verse 8. I'll just do that because I'm not going to follow here. Verse 8. 10. There should be an 8 up there. Oh, we'll do 10. God called the dry land earth and the gathering of the water. He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Next one. We'll just do that. That'll be better. The earth produced vegetation, the seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed and according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Next. To rule the day and the night and to separate light from darkness and God saw that it was good. So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature, blah, 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 all the way created. And God saw what? It was good, right? Next one. Did you already do that one? So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. God saw that all that he was made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came and the morning, the sixth day. It was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. Everything that God made was good. So this idea that has creeped into us that somehow God orchestrates trauma, that somehow God orchestrates pain and hurtful situations and even death and all those things. It's like, man, I see where God is good. That God's design is good, that word in Genesis for good, it's this Hebrew word, tov, and it means beautiful, pleasing, working as it should, wholeness and harmony. You see, the world that God created wasn't random, it wasn't chaotic, but it was purposeful. There was reason woven into every fabric of the sunrise, of the stars, of the land, of the water, every creature and everything. Like, God's design was for good. Adam and Eve, man, they walked in the garden in the cool of the day. That was God's design. There was unbroken fellowship between them. So when someone says everything happens for a reason, it's as if they're saying that somehow God wrote suffering into the script. And we have to ask, where in there, Genesis 1, did you see what God did and created that you see suffering and death? Never. Before sin, right? Sin was man's plan. Genesis 1 shows that here's God's plan. Everything was good. There was not death in the garden until sin entered. We just don't see those things here. All we see in Genesis chapter 1 and God's design was for good. But the serpent came, and what did he do? He didn't destroy creation with force, but he attacked it with deception. He said, did God really say? He introduced a question that has haunted humanity from that very moment. Can I really trust God's design? Because all of this comes back down to the enemy is always saying over and over, did God really say? Did God really say? Did God really say? And I have to answer that question, do I really trust God? Do I trust that God is good? Adam and Eve chose their own way, and that's when the fracture came, not just in relationship, but how we see reality. Instead of walking with God in purpose and peace now, we look at tragedy and we say everything happens for a reason. When deep down, we're not even sure what the reason is or if God is still writing that story. You see that sin entered the world. You see, sin entered the world, and with sin came hurt and pain, trauma, brokenness, and death. The brokenness in your life is not God's original design. The chaos that you've walked through is not how it's supposed to be. But the good news is this, is that God is still good, and he brings reason to everything that happens. Go back to that Romans 8:28. Let's look at that for a moment. God's original design was good. Sin entered, interrupted that. And then we turn to Romans 8:28. It's a verse that's often quoted, but more often than not, it's misunderstood. And it says this right here. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. All things work together. We know that. That was Christian Standard Bible. Babe, what version is yours? Can you read yours out loud? No mic, just read it. Let's hear it. NLT, let's hear it.
And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them.
Anybody who has another version that we haven't read yet? NIV, anybody? Come on. All right, here we go, Rivaldo.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Any other version? Who has a different version that we haven't read yet? Let's hear it.
And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Yeah. Did y'all catch that? Did you see where he works all things? He causes all things to go for good. Paul never wrote in there that said all things are good. Paul never said that God causes those things. It says that he works them. He causes them for good. He takes what the enemy meant for evil and turns it to good. Nowhere in here do we see where God is causing these things, where the good father is trying to teach us a lesson. But Paul says that he works all things. It's this idea, it comes from, we looked at it last week in Genesis chapter 50, where Joseph said to his brothers, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You almost said it. He takes the shattered parts of your story and he starts weaving redemption into every thread. He takes the dead places and speaks resurrection. I like how Paul says it. We know. And we know. This Greek word means deep, settled knowledge. Paul doesn't say, man, I feel that God is going to work all things together. I hope that he is going to work all things together. He says, I know. I'm settled in this. This is a deep knowledge. It's like when I'm thinking ahead to the fall football season and we got Arch Manning, QB in the Texas Longhorns. I'm like, I don't hope that he's good. I know. I know that dude's going to win us the championship this year. I'm not back here going, oh, what's going to happen? Arch, man, he's taking us to the land, man. We're doing it. The same thing as what Paul is saying. Hey, I don't hope that God works all things. I know that he works all things. I don't feel like this is going to happen. I know that it's going to happen. It says it's not just optimism, but it's spiritual certainty. You may not know why something happened, but you can know who's working in it and through it. And it says, we know that in all things, all, every, the whole, there's no asterisk, there's no exception clause, the job you didn't get, the relationship that ended, the pain that no one sees. God says right here, Paul is saying that God works all things. Not all things are good, but in all things, God is good. You take that like a mosaic, and from back, it looks great. You get close, you see broken pieces, different jagged and colors and all of that. And if you've ever watched someone make one of those, you're like, what in the world are they doing? And then when they're finished and you step back, you see, man, how could you have taken all of that, what we would have discarded as trash or rubble, and turned it into something beautiful? And what Paul is saying here is that God works all things together. He takes all of those things that the enemy meant for evil, all the hurt, all the pain, all the brokenness, all the trauma, and he starts piecing it back together. And it's beautiful. He creates beauty from things that we couldn't have even imagined. God works, and we know in all things God works. God is weaving together. It is that same word in Genesis chapter 50. Genesis was written, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. New Testament here, most of it was written in Greek, but they translated, obviously at some point, they translated the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek, and it's the same word where Joseph says, what you meant for evil, he meant for good. It's the same Greek word right here, and it says that God works. He weaves together. Where for us, sometimes we can't see what's happening. We don't know what's going on, but we see that God is working. He's weaving together. The picture is this, is that God is actively involved, even when it feels like he's absent. He's not standing back letting things play out, but he's in the middle of the mess, weaving redemption into every thread. God is not the author of all things, but he is the redeemer of all things. And we know in all things God works for the good. It's still the same word. It's the same root word from Genesis. It means beautiful, beneficial, and whole. Here's where we get into trouble with this word, with this idea. And we know that God works all things together for the good of those. Where we get in trouble is we think that we know what is good for us. We think that we know what is good. And that causes tension in the relationship with the Lord, because it's like, I thought that job was going to be what you wanted me to have. I thought that was going to open up doors for this, or I thought this relationship was going to be that. The problem is that we think we know what is good and what is best for ourselves. But he has a heavenly perspective. He gets to see things stepping back and going, Man, that ain't good. If you've got parent, if you're a parent, and you got kiddos, right? Can you testify to that? Can you go? You see your kids doing something, you're like, man, that ain't good. I wouldn't do that. And it can go all the way from littles all the way to older. There's some things that I see Miss Evelyn doing, and I'm like, man, that ain't going to work out the way that she thinks it is. But in her mind, she's like, man, this is good. This is going to be good. This is going to work. And I'm sitting back going, that ain't good. And in the same way, we think that we know what is good, but we're looking at it short term. We know that God works together for all things for the good of those who love him. Sometimes we want comfort, and we think that that is good, and what he wants is Christ-likeness out of us. We want resolution, but he wants resurrection. God's goodness goes deeper than relief. It's redemption. And sometimes the thing that you're praying for God to take away is the very place where he wants to reveal himself most. I think there's a picture of like tapestry, I think is what this is called. And so this is the backside of tapestry, of embroidery. And it's all jumbled and a mess and knots. And then when you look at the front side of it, it looks like that. And sometimes we're on the back side of that tapestry, and our life looks jumbled, looks like mess, looks like knots, looks like, man, what is going on here? And then we're like, God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And then on the other side of our mess, we see that. But if we get caught up in our mess, if we keep going, everything happens for a reason, and God's doing this, and we stay on that side of the mess, and we never get to see the other side. Because we're so consumed with us. And just on the other side, it's beautiful. God is love, and nothing has changed. We have to believe that the God that was in the garden is the same God that is in our mess. He hasn't changed. God's original design was for good. Everything was good. Actually, then when it gets to man, it says, man was very good. Good. And we have to go, yeah, but what about this and what about that? Because we want an explanation and we want a reason. But all I'm saying is that we have to trust that the God of the garden is the same God that's in our mess. Yes. Yes. That he's working for my ultimate good and for his infinite glory. Everything happens for a reason, might not mean what we thought it meant. But God brings reason to everything that happens, and that's better. So what do we do when the story that we're living doesn't make sense, when we find ourselves in the middle of a chapter that we never would have written? When the diagnosis comes, the betrayal happens, the door closes, what do we do when it seems like there's no good reason? I know for some of y'all, you might not be in the mess right now. Your mask is off, right? And everything is good, and that's good. It might not just be like in theory, but it might be today, might be like you're in the mess. You're carrying loss or regret or questions that you just don't say out loud, or are you looking back on things in your life and seasons in your life? And you've heard people say things like everything happens for a reason. But everything happens for a reason hasn't helped you. It hasn't healed you. It hasn't held you together. When we go through things, we have to stop asking for a reason. When bad things happen, our first question is usually why. Is that just me? You're right, y'all all say that, right? Okay, good. All right. Otherwise, we could have just dismissed right there. I'll just keep going and y'all I'll finish this thing. When bad things happen, our first question is why. But in Scripture, God rarely answers the why. He offers Himself. I mean, He feeds the 5,000. And they're trying to figure it out. And you know His response? He doesn't explain how it happened. He doesn't explain why He did it. Do you know what He says? I am the bread of life. He doesn't give reason for it. He reveals Himself to them. Lazarus dies. Jesus weeps. They're like, Mary is like, Jesus, if you had just been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus doesn't explain, yeah, I know I got the message 3 days ago, but I kind of drug my feet getting here. Like, he doesn't explain anything. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And they're trying to figure out why. And what does Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. He doesn't give them a reason. He reveals himself to them. The woman caught in adultery. He dismisses her accusers, tells her to walk in freedom. And everybody, even the Pharisees, the ones that walked away, are going, why? She was caught in adultery. Why did this just happen? Why did she get to go free? What is going on? And Jesus doesn't break down the law. He doesn't go, hey, I'm bringing a new covenant and this is going to happen. No, you know what he says? I'm the light of the world. That anyone who comes to me will never walk in darkness again. He doesn't explain himself. He reveals himself. Job goes through all of those things, all of that. And Job is like, what's going on, Lord? And does the Lord just begin to tell Job all of the things? Like, hey, here's what's really going on behind the scenes. Let me give you a peek behind the curtain. No, he says, Job, where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I measured the sea? Like, so many times we go, I want to know why. Because what happens is that trauma, that hurt, makes us seek meaning from something. But sometimes we don't need meaning. Actually, all the time we don't need meaning. What we need is we need to see Jesus. Jesus very rarely answered the why and almost always revealed himself. You don't need a reason when you have a Redeemer. The peace that you're looking for isn't found in an explanation. It's found in his presence. Because a lot of times we ask for explanations, and have you been around it where the explanations only make it worse? When we're like, first they go, hey, everything happens for a reason. And you're like, oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. And then you're like, wait a minute. And then it's like, hey, let me put my foot further in my big mouth. Man, I know you lost your son. Everything happens for a reason. Maybe God just needed another angel. And you're like, man, I think he had myriads of angels. I don't think he needed to take my little boy for that. Right? But what happens is when we try to explain it away, it makes it worse. And what we need is not an explanation, but we need his presence. Why did Jesus say it's better for me to go away from you? And let me give you the Holy Spirit who's going to lead you and guide you and comfort you. Man, that was another one I was just thinking about in John, where Jesus is saying, hey, I'm don't freak out. I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And remember, the disciples were like, why? What's going on? And does Jesus explain it all? No, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who comes to me, right? All those things. Like, once again, he doesn't explain himself. He reveals himself. When we come into these situations, we have to quit asking why and stop asking for a reason. We have to invite him into our mess. There's a temptation to blame God or to box him out. But our job is to invite him into the middle of the mess. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. God does not stand far off waiting for you to learn your lesson. He's close. Invite him into your mess. If you've lost someone, he wants to meet you in your grief. If your plans fell apart, he wants to speak hope into that. If you're in the middle of unanswered questions, he wants to walk with you. Invite him in not to explain, but to redeem. Redemption often looks like resurrection, where God brings something that's died and brings it back to life. And we have to trust in God's faithfulness. The phrase, everything happens for a reason, sounds spiritual and biblical, but it teaches people to attribute pain to God instead of finding hope in him.
Yeah.
Instead of saying that everything happens for a reason, we have to trust in his faithfulness. We have to trust that God is working in everything, in the mess, in the heartbreak, and even the things that he didn't cause. God doesn't cause all things, but he redeems all things.
Yes.
So whatever pain is in your life that you've been trying to explain instead of surrendering, what are you still trying to assign a reason to it for? What wound are you trying to make sense of before you let God touch it? I was thinking about, I like to roughhouse with the kiddos, and you know, occasionally there's an injury. Occasionally. And when it happens, and I try to comfort them, what do you think happens? They go to her. They don't want anything to do with me. I'm the one that caused it. When we believe this thing that says everything happens for a reason, we believe that God is the one causing it. So why would I go to him to fix it? Because I think he's the one that caused it. We have to trust that God is faithful. We have to stop asking why and start asking Jesus, where are you in the middle of this? When I was a youth pastor, there was a young female that we were ministering to, and she was dealing with a lot of trauma from even when she was born. She was given up for adoption, and she her mom left her on the front porch of an orphanage. She was hurt and broken by it. This is where these concepts first came to me through this was, I mean, how do you pray? I was like 23 years old. How am I going to pray for this teenager dealing with all this? I don't know anything. And all I felt like the Lord saying was, ask her where I was in the middle of that. And so we're praying, and I just say, hey, I just want you to go back to that day. I said, I know you don't even remember it. She's like 3 months old at that time. I was like, I want you to go back to that day. I want you to ask the Lord where he was in that. And she looked at me like, man, I don't know how to do that. I said, just try. And the Lord brought back to her a picture of her mom laying her down on the doorstep. She starts crying. And I said, okay, so where's Jesus in that? And she said, I see him standing to the side, begging and pleading and crying. And then the Lord said, I did this to protect you and to save you. She wasn't ready for you. You see that this mess, that God works things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Instead of asking why, start asking Jesus, where are you in this? And I promise you that you will find him. Not always with answers, but always with his presence. God brings reason to everything that happens. Can I pray with you, Gus? Father, I thank you for your word that is true, every word. I think that it is the firm foundation. I thank you that you are good and your design for us is good. I pray that you would teach us how to go against our natural instincts to ask why and to look for a reason behind everything. Or to think that you caused it, but would you just teach us to look to you, to trust you, and to invite you into it so that you can redeem it. Father, we love you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.